Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. President Obama from moments ago in his news conference on Iran.
I find it ironic that you've got the Iranian regime pretending to celebrate what happened in Egypt, when in fact they have acted in direct contrast to what happened in Egypt by gunning down and beating people who were trying to express themselves peacefully in Iran.
So, President Obama giving it to the Iranian government. But is the U.S. still picking its spots when it comes to supporting democracy? When it comes to Jordan, where there have also been recent protests, the Obama administration sent Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen over the weekend, according to the Associated Press, to, quote, reassure King Abdullah, the Associated Press's word. Jordan's foreign minister, Nasser Judeh, told Fox News yesterday that the democracy movements will not affect the king's reign. Let's talk about Jordan and touch on a few other countries in the region as the ground shifts after Mubarak with Marwan Mushar, vice president for Middle East Studies with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's a former Jordanian foreign minister and deputy prime minister and ambassador to the United States and author of the book The Arab Center, The Promise of Moderation, published 2 years ago by the Yale University Press. Ambassador, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And let's begin with your own country, Jordan. Thousands have been in the streets. The king has shuffled his cabinet. But that is something that I understand has been done 8 times in the last 12 years or something anyway. And it's not considered a real democracy. Does Jordan, in your opinion, need more democracy?
Yes, I think Jordan is not unlike any other country in the region. There is a movement that demands better governance throughout the Middle East, and Jordan is no exception. The movement in Jordan, you know, is not about the king, who still serves as a unifying figure in the country, but certainly people in Jordan, as elsewhere in the Middle East, are demanding better government, a more serious reform process that goes beyond just changing governments and changing prime ministers. It is obvious today that the whole region is in need of a gradual but sustained and serious reform process.
And as the Associated Press put it, when he ascended to the throne in 1999, King Abdullah said he would press ahead with political reforms initiated by his late father, King Hussein. Those reforms paved the way for the first parliamentary election in 1989 after a 22-year gap. The revival of a multi-party system and the suspension of martial law, which had been in effect since the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, so a little history. But then it says, but little has been done since then. Is that why Jordanians are in the streets? Not much since 1989?
Well, I wouldn't say not much, certainly not enough. But a few years ago, the country embarked on an effort called the National Agenda, where an inclusive committee came up with a very serious blueprint for political, social, and economic reform in the country. So we do have a roadmap. The problem has been, in my view, with a political elite that you know, is benefiting from the status quo, that has resisted efforts to reform the country, not just coming from the street, but ironically coming from the king himself. That political elite group resisted even reform coming from above and did not want the country to move forward. Obviously, with what is happening in the region, this is no longer sustainable. Mm-hmm. And unless the new government embarks not just on ad hoc programs here and there, but on a sustained and comprehensive reform system process that would end up with power sharing, with a strong parliament, with an independent judiciary, with a free press, unless all these areas are addressed, I think people will no longer sort of suffice with ad hoc programs here and there.
It's an unambiguous statement. And I wonder how you think the Jordanian government is viewing the United States right now, because on the same weekend that Mubarak succumbed to the democracy movement in Egypt, President Obama sent the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Admiral Mullen to reassure the king, again, as the AP put it, reassure, Jordan, like Egypt, is a close U.S. ally. Do you think trust in Washington, trust of Washington, is an issue now after the Obama administration abandoned Mubarak to support the democracy movement?
Well, I think the U.S. For a long time has adopted a policy of stability over democracy in the Middle East, basically because of oil and Israel. That policy obviously is resulting in neither stability nor democracy, and I think that the U.S. is right now revisiting that policy and maybe thinking at least about a policy in which they prioritize both stability and democracy, where the reform issue no longer is put at the back burner and where it becomes one of the key points in their discussions with the region. I think the U.S. has basically missed the boat on Egypt and, for a long time ignored the reform issue to the point where today we see people out in the streets, but transition that we still don't know, as the congressman said, what it will lead to. If that is not to be repeated in other Arab countries, I think the U.S. will have to seriously and quickly revisit that policy and make sure that the reform issue is once again, part of their agenda in their discussions with countries of the region.
So what do you think that meeting would have been like, or maybe you even have word of what it was like, between the King and Admiral Mullen? What specific either reassurances do you think Mullen offered on behalf of the United States, or demands that either of them may have made on each other?
Well, I'm not privy to the meeting. I looked at some of the statements that came out, not from Admiral Mullen, but from Undersecretary Bill Burns, who was also in Jordan, where he talked about support for a sustained reform process in the country. I think that's sort of a hint or a keyword that the United States will stand by its allies, but at the same time, wants to support a serious reform process. And that, I think, is a hint that will not go unnoticed.
And here is President Obama from his news conference this morning, just a few minutes ago, seeming to take that general approach that you were referring to about the U.S. stance toward democracy in the region now. Listen.
You can't maintain power through coercion at some level in any society. There has to be consent. And that's particularly true in this new era where people can communicate not just through some centralized government or a state-run TV, but they can get on a smartphone or a Twitter account and mobilize hundreds of thousands of people. My belief is that as a consequence of what's happened in Tunisia and Egypt, governments in that region are starting to understand this.
President Obama at a news conference minutes ago. My guest is Marwan Muasher, Vice President for Middle East Studies with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, a former Jordanian foreign minister. Did you hear anything new in that clip?
I did. Maybe those statements were said before, but as I said, I think the United States is realizing that its policy has failed before of prioritizing, as I said, stability over democracy. I think that there is a new thinking now that wants to look not just at one issue in its dealings with the Middle East, but at a multiple issues, including the issue of reform, so that you don't end up with what happened in Egypt, and so that governments really can initiate reform from above rather than watch it unfold in the streets below.
On Egypt, everyone is waiting to see what the army actually does in terms of a real transition to democracy or not. Congressman Nadler referred to that, as you mentioned. They're talking about a very speedy timetable of a new draft constitution and referendum in 2 months. We can't get a debt commission report passed in a year in Washington, and then an Egyptian election that they say will be free and fair in 6 months. But is moving so quickly a way to plant democratic roots or to stifle them?
Well, the army is not, or the committee to amend the constitution is not looking at writing a new constitution. It's really looking at amending four or five clauses at most that would make it possible for any Egyptian to run for the, for president without the support of the ruling party. That would entrust the judicial system with overseeing that process. That would allow political parties once again to run, parties like the Brotherhood and others who were banned from running. So you're looking at really a number of key but few amendments that would go a long way in terms of power sharing and maybe even moving Egypt from a presidential system to a parliamentary system. And I think it's quite possible to do that in 2 months. What's more difficult is that there has been a vacuum of leadership in the country, particularly because the ruling party, as is the case in many other Arab countries, have not allowed the political space for other political parties or leaders to emerge. That's going to be the challenge. How do you, how do you have a new system in which there are alternate leaders without a tradition of, real strong political parties in the country? So there's, as we have seen in Tunisia, I think that whatever new regime emerges in Egypt will have to depend, at least in part, on some of the old guard, those that have not, been involved in abuses or in corruption. We've seen that happen in Eastern Europe after 89, and I suspect it will happen again in the Middle East also.
Yes, and with respect to when elections are held, I mean, people are already campaigning for president in this country for November of next year. In a country with no real political parties like Egypt, what do you think needs to happen and how? And can they have a real election with real political parties that have had time to organize and get their messages out and stuff in 6 months?
Well, 6 months is a bit short. And in fact, there is talk already in the country of whether this is going to be possible or not. Remember, Parliament has just been elected, although now it has been dissolved. And certainly, efforts are to elect a new parliament. Presidential elections were supposed to be held in September, so 6 months from now. Whether you can hold both parliamentary elections and presidential elections in 6 months' time is still to be determined, but I think there is a realization that this time might be short, and we might very well see a process that will take longer than this.
And I guess there's pressure on both sides, because on the one hand is what you just said, and on the other hand is how long do you want the military to have that rule and be entrenched before there's some kind of elections and get comfortable with power?
That is true. I think, you need to sort of break it into two stages. The first stage is to have the amendments necessary and run maybe a referendum on them. Make sure that the laws at least are seriously changed in a way that would allow for a serious democracy to emerge. And then you can talk about a timetable. If people are convinced that at least the legal environment has been fundamentally changed, they might accept a longer process. But that still remains to be seen.
Marwan Washer, Vice President for Middle East Studies with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's a former Jordanian foreign minister and author of The Arab Center, The Promise of Moderation. Thank you so much for coming on with us again.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, maybe this is the best moment from the news conference so far. We're told, at least in terms of everybody wondering whether Obama, after he lost Congress, is becoming like Clinton after he lost Congress in 94. And asked again about jobs, the president said, "Look, I definitely feel folks' pain. All I don't know is if he bit his lip." Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we continue our series on the five films nominated for the Best Documentary Oscar. Today, Gasland, on the controversial new drilling method known as fracking, definitely of relevance to our area. This documentary nominated for Best Oscar. We'll talk to the filmmaker. Stay with us.